Instead of the scripture listed, we'll be taking this morning's reading from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. That's Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7. And it reads, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is in the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction."
Good morning. Sure is good to see everyone out. Got a good crowd again this morning. Before I begin, several announcements. One is in the bulletin. If you're, we announced a second ago about the song practice being at 5 o'clock today. That is correct. The bulletin is incorrect. That's a typo. But it is today at 5 o'clock. So if you go home and think about it, just remember what was said was right. 5 o'clock today. Second thing is that also in the bulletin, you'll see that the Whites are going to have their house open up on July the 8th. Sunday evening, July the 8th, to play some volleyball and have some hot dogs and those types of things afterwards. So, kids, come on. Adults, come on. Let's play. I'll beat you all. But let's play. It'll be good. It'll be a good time for us to spend together. And if you can bring anything to that, see Mike and Montel about that. And thirdly, I want to turn our attention also, if you notice in the bulletin today, you'll notice that we've got a lot of people who just graduated. You can go through the list. I won't take the time to go through the list. You can check that on the bulletin on your way out. But there are tons of them. In fact, I only know of like one other place where there's been more seniors in one congregation that graduated in that time, which is really cool. That's amazing. And the crazy part is many of them are related to one another. So that's even cool, too. But this morning, I was thinking about that last night as I was driving home. I was like, man, Stefan's going to be moving pretty soon, playing football. Shawnee's and Jessica are moving pretty soon. Everyone's going to be gone. And so I thought, this may be the last time that I get to preach from the pulpit when my teenagers are here, when the kids are here. And so I want to take that time this morning to look at something that is not only beneficial for young people, but it is very beneficial for us as, I'm even going to say this, as a full-grown adult, as a 27-year-old man. And so I want us to look this morning at Proverbs chapters 1 through 9 of just some of these words that the proverb that the writer Solomon writes. Open up there. I hope you're still there in Proverbs chapter 1 where Bob read. Again, Bob, thanks for changing. It seems like I change on you every time you've got the scripture reading. But thanks for changing with me. This morning we're going to be making basically 4 points. I want us just to hit those points home and see how they're repeated throughout these first 9 chapters. They say, well, Proverbs is 30 chapters. Why are we just doing the first 9 chapters? Well, because the first 9 chapters is basically a father writing to his son. Imagine you've got a father, he's sitting down, he's got his son, maybe his son's about to get married, or his son's about to go off to school, and I can kind of just see him sitting by the campfire or by the fireplace, and the father is giving his son wisdom. And you kind of see this, that he's writing to his son, because in the first 9 chapters, you're going to see it mentioned about 16 times, my son or my sons, listen. Over and over. And we do that when we're talking to our children, don't we? Son, listen to me. I know this. Pay attention. The first 9 chapters of Proverbs is a very special passage to me. Because I remember one of the first passages studying with my father was before I'd go to bed, he would give us an item, we would go through the book of Proverbs. I remember going through Proverbs, I remember going through Ecclesiastes. And I was asking him a couple years ago, I was like, Dad, when did we go through that? He's like, I'm guessing you were probably 7, 8 years old. So I don't even know how old you were. I still remembered a lot of things. The problem was that I didn't apply the things that are there. Because at age 22, I called up my dad freaking out. And dad said, I'll be there in about 4 hours. But I want you to read Proverbs 1 through 9. I wish I had listened to him. Because there were so many things from these passages that I did that my father did not. I want you to listen very carefully this morning as we go through these things. Don't make the same mistakes I did. I want to start in chapter 4. Open up to Proverbs chapter 4. Our parents will do this. But I want to make this point. We're not going to take the time to look at this very closely. But one of the baselines that we need to think when we're high schoolers or when we just graduated from college, we think, man, we know it all. I've got this down pat. Don't forget what your parents taught you. He says that over and over and over through these 9 chapters. Don't forget. They know what they're talking about. Don't forget. But as I said, we want to start in chapter 4. And we want to see that the first thing is that we need to get wisdom. I want us to see how he does it. Start in chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction or teaching. And be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. He says, I'm going to remind you of what my father used to say. Verse 3. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me. And he said, let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget. And do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Get wisdom. That's what we want. He wants a wise son. No one wants a fool for a son or a daughter. But you've got to want it. As this advice is, get it. But in order to get it, you got to want it. The beginning of wisdom is the example to get wisdom. You don't just randomly come into being a wise person. You might make a lot of mistakes, or you might, through your experiences, realize, man, I shouldn't have done that. But just because you realize I shouldn't have done that doesn't make you a wise person. It makes you knowledgeable of what to do and what not to do. But wisdom is when we apply what it is that we know. Sometimes we say it's the application of knowledge. Get it. Practice it. Get it with everything that you have. And it's the beginning of that. It's a great benefit. These are good precepts, he says. These are good things. But notice some of these benefits. Verse 8. Prize her, and she will exalt you. A wise guy is looked up, and we use the term wise guy kind of in a negative sense, right? So I should rephrase that. A wise man or a wise woman is looked up to more than a fool. You see a fool, and you laugh at him, and you think, oh, no. Someone who is wise, they don't have to exalt themselves. Others exalt them. They lift themselves up by the way they conduct their lives. She'll be a garland and a crown. It's noticeable. When you are wise, people see it. It's something that can be worn for honor. Just like if we had won a race and maybe you get the sash or you get a trophy. people know you made and that you're a wise one. There are benefits of that, but it doesn't just stop with people see it. Notice some of the other things that are said in these chapters. Look at chapter 8 and verse 35. When you find wisdom, he says you find life. Chapter 8, and wisdom is speaking. That's one of the cool things in these first 9 chapters of Proverbs, is that many times wisdom is personified as a woman. Because men, we listen a little better sometimes to women than we do to ourselves. Because we're attracted to them and all those different types of things. But wisdom is calling out and wisdom is speaking. Notice what she says in verse 35. Actually, starting in 32. Oh, now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my way. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. When we find wisdom, we find life. We find favor from God. God is happy. God is pleased with us when we are wise in what He says in His teaching. Not only do we find life, notice what He says in chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. You don't just find life, you find long life. Verse 16. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways of pleasantness and all her paths of peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. And those who hold fast to her are called blessed. We know the tree of life, don't we, in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve had access to the tree of life, what did that mean? They had life forever. That's what wisdom can be. Wisdom in God and keeping God's commands give us eternal life. But also just wisdom in general will help a long life. Our parents, right? This is the classic illustration. Look both ways before you cross the street. Don't go chasing the ball bouncing across the street. How many kids have you seen run out? So many. I remember growing up, there was a kid, he went to another congregation. But they were out playing, I believe it was dodgeball after services. They were on a 4-lane highway. Dodgeball goes rolling across the street. Guess what he did? Died at age 12. Now you might say, well, I've chased a lot. Yeah, I've chased a lot of balls across the street myself. Just did it last week. But I look both ways. Wisdom has its benefits. But spiritual wisdom has its eternal benefits of long life eternal. But not only do you just have these benefits about life, but notice how much it's worth. Look at the verses right previously. Look at verse 13. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. All the money you can make doesn't compare to what living a life with wisdom. Everything that you can get. You know, people in Africa, they're down there and they're mining for these diamonds. Just to get one. And they murder people over these diamonds. That's how valuable those diamonds are, those jewels are. Wisdom is more valuable than a whole heap of those jewels. Get it. With all you're getting, get wisdom, get insight. But that's exactly what it is. It takes effort to get wisdom. Look at chapter 2 of how this is stated in chapter 2. Yes, in chapter 1 we've got wisdom crying aloud in the streets. And she's at all the corners and she's at the marketplaces and she's crying aloud and she's saying, come to me, all you simple ones, come learn. But we got to go. Look at verse 3. That's the start of verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search out for it as a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It takes us going out and finding it, getting it. It is there to be found, as chapter 1 will say. But we got to get it. We got to seek it diligently more than silver and more than gold. Because the profit from it is better than silver or gold. Don't think that just because you get a day older and a year older and you graduate and you reach one milestone that you've now reached the wisdom plateau. I can guarantee you, until the day we die, we're not as wise as we could be. We can always be getting more wisdom. Once it takes out. It doesn't just come just blind. There's a lot of old people who were fools. Wisdom does not come with age alone. But the thing that we need to see is the verse that comes right after. In order for us to get this wisdom that God wants to have, got to notice where this wisdom comes from. It comes from God. Look at verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. He gives us that wisdom. We have the knowledge of God, and He protects us. He is watching over His saints, over His people. If God is for us, who can be against us? But yeah, that gets us kind of to our next point. We've got to fear the Lord. In order to get this wisdom that God wants to give us, we must fear the Lord. Notice that, as we just read in chapter 1, verse 7 to 5. Read, look at that, chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Look in chapter 9, verse 10. And you all know that I'm all about bookends. Things that are at the beginning and the thing that's repeated at the end, kind of setting it off and saying, this is what's in between. Notice verse 10 of chapter 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is inside. We cannot get the wisdom God wants from fear. We can maybe be wise street-wise. Maybe we're wise business-wise. Maybe we're wise even in our own homes. Maybe we've got a good family. But God wants us to be wise in all our ways. God wants us to be wise and to keep His paths and to keep His things. And that is why it is also said the fear of the Lord, and this is the verse that I was going to teach about this morning, chapter 8, verse 13. This is going to be our lesson this morning. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I'll tell you one way if we don't fear the Lord. Do I hate evil? You might say, oh, Wes, that seems like a stretch. This is one of those random verses. Look at chapter 16 and verse 6. This is the only time we're going to go out except for the closing verse today of Proverbs. 16 and verse 6 of Proverbs. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns from evil. If we know who God is, and we know that God hates sin, as He will say in chapter 6, there are six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. Doesn't that make us a little fearful? Doesn't that put us in perspective of how I should treat evil and how I should think about evil? Sometimes I get a little too close to it myself. Sometimes I think about what I watch, what I listen to, and I think, man, is this what I need to be listening to? Do I hate evil? Because if I hate something, I'm probably speaking out against it. I'm probably saying, man, let's take the Miami Heat, for instance. I hate the Miami Heat. And the L.A. Lakers, both. You know what I do when the Heat start doing well? I talk bad against them. You know what I do when I flip through the channel and the Heat is on? I don't watch it. I avoid it. You know what you do when you get a plate of food and it's got something on there that you hate? Like last night we had some dessert come around that my mom makes that I hate. And it comes around, do you want it? No. You avoid it. That's hatred. But oftentimes what we call hatred to evil, we don't practice that same thing. Well, I'm just not doing it. I'm going to be there, but I'm not doing it. Come on. We talk out against it, and we don't get anywhere near it. We avoid it. So notice what he says right after this. Notice what he says in chapter 1, verse 10 as he begins this. In a sense, not right after, but as he begins this. This is one of the hardest things when you go off to school. Maybe it's a little difficult, different going to public school, but something about when you go off and you're away now. It's on your own. That's what he says in chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Look at verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. The truth is that when you go off to school, or when you go out into the world, sin is enticing. And your friends are going to be saying, come on, let's go. Let's do this. Keep your foot from their paths. Their feet run to do evil. You avoid it. Don't give in to it. Don't walk in the path, as he would say. Notice chapter 4, what he says in verses 14 and 15. Again, this is talking about our avoidance. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Keep going. So notice at the end of the chapter, verse 25. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder or consider the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Imagine you got two paths, right? Dad says, hey, I need you to go to the store. And so you know the way to the store. But on the way to the store, right, there are your buddies at the house and saying, hey, come on in here, let's have a... You don't need to go to the store or whatever. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Where am I going? Consider, ponder. Is my feet on the right path? Don't turn to the left or to the right. Go straight ahead. Man, I tell you what, that's difficult. Because they're going to be saying, come on, come on. And there's going to be more of them saying, come on, come on, than there's going to be saying, don't go, don't go. But my son, when sinners entice, do not consent. Don't give in. And one of the ways we can get around this is wisdom can deliver us from all this deceptive evil. Look at this in chapter 2, looking back. We just saw a moment ago in chapter 2 that you get the knowledge of God. So notice verse 12, and he's watching over and protecting you. For notice verse 10, for wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech. Look at verse 16, he goes very specific about what one of those things is. So you will be delivered from the forbidden or the adulterous woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. Look at chapter 7, very similar statement made about this woman. 4 verse 5, chapter 7 verse 4. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call inside your intimate friend to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. Chapter 7 would go on to describe some of those smooth words. But guys especially, this is a real temptation. We're suckers. And sometimes we want to be suckers. Sometimes we really want, they don't even have to try as hard to seduce us. But yet, do not be surprised if some little girl comes and tries to seduce you. Wisdom. Knowing where the path leads of this forbidden woman. This woman who wants to have her love until the morning, the text would say. While her husband is out on a business, and he won't be back till the full moon. It's not your wife. She's wanting for the morning to have a good time. Notice the outcome of that. Look at the end of chapter 7. Look at verse 21. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. And with her smooth talk, she compels him. And all at once he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or a stag is caught in the fast, till an arrow pierces its liver, and as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. My father used to say, and this goes back to don't forget what your dad said, Wes, the best present you can give your wife is yourself. I had no idea what he meant until I couldn't give that anymore. You don't know what costs your life. It's that simple. But if you're wise and you listen to what he said, you know where this is going to lead. It leads to death. Guys, don't give in. Girls, don't use your tongue for that way. Don't seduce you. Third point. Trust the Lord. You got to fear the Lord, but you also got to trust the Lord. In chapter 3. And we know this passage maybe better than many others in Proverbs. Chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He gives wisdom, as we point, with all your heart. Don't give God just some of your heart. All your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. That's definitely a temptation when we're younger. But man, I know it, man. My parents don't know nothing. My teachers don't know nothing. My boss don't know nothing. Don't lean on your own. Trust in the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. Verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. It's not just saying, hey God, I see you up there. It's God, I see you up there. And I'm going to, as we're just saying, trust and obey. I acknowledge Him. He is my Lord, as we say when we become Christians. Jesus is both Lord and Christ. He is Master and Messiah. Acknowledge Him. acknowledge Him every step of your way because He ponders the way, these first 9 chapters will tell us. He's looking. He sees. We can't hide from God. We know that. Jonah couldn't hide from God. I can't hide from God. Acknowledge Him by submitting to Him. Notice verse 7. I should read into verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. It's not some really crooked, windy road, a really hilly, really difficult thing. God will make it worth your while. Verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. That takes a lot of trust to turn away from evil. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. But it takes a whole lot of faith and a whole lot of trust to do that. But you can, and you will in all your ways. And the fourth is don't despise correction and teaching. Don't do it. Notice how often this comes up. Especially from the Lord, as we just saw here in chapter 3. But notice the end of chapter, verse 11 of chapter 3. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom He delights. You know, sometimes in our lives, difficult things come about. Sometimes they're just by chance. Sometimes they're a consequence. Sometimes God may directly intervene and send something into our lives that makes our life really difficult because He loves us. I'm not a parent, so I don't fully understand this. The pain when it comes to disciplining a child. I know it from being a counselor at a camp, and you've got to tell kids and you've got to punish them and you don't want to. But it's the right thing to do. When times come up in your life where the Lord is chasing you, don't kick against the goat, but realize He still loves you. That's why He disciplines. He's not giving up on me yet. Listen to Him. But also, don't despise correction and teaching from other people. Notice that in chapter 1, verse 7, fools hate instruction and wisdom. Don't hate teaching. Don't do that. That's what fools do. But also, don't have too many of these moments. Look at chapter 5, verse 12. And this is talking about, if you look at verse 11, he said, you get to the end of your life, you groan. And when your flesh and your body are consumed, it's at the end of your life, and you're looking back and you say, how I hate the discipline. And how my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructor. I am on the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Life is awful. What a terrible moment to have that. I should have listened. And I'm sure we've all had those moments. But the fewer you can have, the wiser that you are. And the final point is I want to see the difference between a wise man and a fool. Look at chapter 9, verses 7 and 9. When it comes to rebuke, when it comes to teaching and correction, when someone says, hey, you might ought to think about this, look at verse 7. Whoever corrects a scoffer or someone who mocks gets himself abuse. Uh-oh. And he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. What's the mocker, the scoffer, and the wicked man doing when he's rebuked, when he's reproved? He's coming back and he's doing harm on the one who rebuked him. So he says, verse 8, do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. He's not dumber because someone came and said, hey, you ought to consider this. This is not right. He will love you, and he will be wiser. Well, the question is, do I hate when someone comes up and corrects me? How dare you come and say anything to me? Or do I say thank you? I appreciate it. And I'm wiser still. It doesn't stop there. I encourage us all to go and read these 9 chapters. Read them closely to our hearts. Not just know them, but live them. But I can't close out something to young people and not read this passage as our closing words from Ecclesiastes chapter 11, again by, I think, the same man. We have an awesome time in our lives where we're young. We got so much ahead of us. And that's good. So verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 11. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. And let your heart cheer you in the days of youth. Enjoy that. Yeah. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vain. Enjoy it. But know that God will bring you into judgment. And your life will not always be this fun. Because as he will go into chapter 12 before the evil days come, when you get older and you can't do the stuff you used to do, remember your Creator. Be wise in the Lord. Get wisdom with all your getting. Fear the Lord, trust the Lord, and don't despise correction and teaching. If anyone's subject to the Lord's invitation, anyway, we ask that you come as we stand and as we sing.